We're talking about the partial recount that led to certifying the election results in Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. But first, let's head over to our year-end membership drive that is officially underway on this Giving Tuesday. I'm here with Jean Purcell. Good morning.
And good morning, Kate. Welcome.
Thank you. You make the Ideas Network possible when you donate. So join the celebration of giving. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday and support the programs you rely on all year long with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from a bunch of new and returning members last hour, and thanks to all of you for your gifts, your support to Wisconsin Public Radio. But right now, during the 7 o'clock hour, we've got some big news. A dollar-for-dollar match is in effect all the way up to $3,000. This generous match comes to us from current members, including a member in Verona, and here's what it means. It means basically that they will match every dollar that you give.
Oh, awesome. It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, it's fair to say that public radio has a unique funding model. It's basically a two-way street that creates a high-quality product. And this is how it works. It's pretty simple, really. You voluntarily contribute, and then in turn, you get back programs that are accountable only to you.
It's an amazing system. You get programs worth listening to precisely because you step up and support them. Make your contribution for independent news, information, and music right now. Take advantage of the match dollar for dollar and help pay for all the programs you enjoy on WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So maybe you've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio without giving because you didn't know that we are listener supported. Well, I'm here to tell you that we are listener supported. In fact, the single largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners.
Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. You're still listening. Now's the perfect time to support the programming you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, it's Sam Sanders from NPR. Giving Tuesday is coming, a day when people all over the world give to organizations making a difference in their lives and communities. And all that generosity, it really adds up. If giving to this station is something you can do, then don't wait. Give for the first time today and join the global movement for giving back. Here's how to make a big impact this Giving Tuesday together.
Yes, it's here. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It's your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on every day possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time, and especially great at this moment during this hour because we've got that $3,000 match out there right now. And in effect, if you give, say, $120, your pledge turns into magically $240 to support the work of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's easy to do. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and then how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to our world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Don't forget that dollar-for-dollar match. In effect, until we use it up, we've got up to $3,000 to match with. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And what's so cool is that this member drive, you can also choose the Reach Out and Read thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more, and you'll provide books to children during their doctor visits. Make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Dan in Madison, who says, I'm a social worker and a lifelong learner. I rely on the morning show as part of my information routine. Dan, we hear that from a lot of listeners, so thanks for the comment, and thanks so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
We're talking about the final step of the election recount as Governor Evers certified President-elect Biden's win yesterday, signed the certificate of ascertainment. In a statement, Evers thanked state election workers for ensuring a, quote, safe, fair, and efficient election. What do you want to know about what happens next in the process? It's 800-642-1234. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So Governor Evers formally certifies Biden's victory yesterday, giving him our 10 electoral votes. Can you explain what led to yesterday's certification?
So Wisconsin's partial presidential recount, which was conducted in Dane and Milwaukee counties, our two big Democratic strongholds, was completed over the weekend, finished up on Sunday. So that kind of set in motion a lot of official procedural moves that needed to happen. So yesterday, the State Elections Commission chair convened an official session of the Elections Commission. It was just her, because for a certification of the recount results and the official election results, it just needed to be the chair present. So she reviewed everything. It's called a canvass, and signed off and sent that paperwork to Governor Evers. And as you mentioned, he moved very quickly to certify Wisconsin's results and to go ahead and move forward with that slate of Democratic presidential electors.
What sentiment did you hear from Governor Evers?
So Governor Evers, you know, as I said, he was very quick to move, and he was very complimentary of election workers. You know, this obviously hasn't been a traditional standard process this year. We had this recount, and on top of that, of course, we had election officials working in the middle of a pandemic and negotiating all of these new circumstances and helping voters figure out how to vote in different ways than they hadn't before, than they had before, maybe voting by mail or using a drop box. So I think a big part of the governor's message was just gratitude for the election officials that have had kind of a marathon of a month, really.
Yeah. So if I understand this right, Laurel, certification of the results yesterday starts this 5-day window for President Trump to file a lawsuit. And Trump has been tweeting that a fresh round of lawsuits would be filed as soon as today in Wisconsin. What is the status of litigation?
So we are expecting the president's campaign to file a lawsuit because he has said for days that they are going to do that. The reason that they hadn't filed a lawsuit yet in Wisconsin is that they couldn't do so until that official meeting of the Elections Commission yesterday, that time when the Elections Commission chair sat down and signed off on the election results. That opened the 5-day window where a lawsuit could be filed. So now that we're in that period of time, the president's campaign has those 5 business days. And we're just going to keep a close lookout for that. You know, we know some of the arguments that they're likely to make because they kind of gave us a preview in some of the objections that they lodged during the recount.
All right. So, you know, the president has said that they were, you know, illegally altered and illegally issued ballots. They said that this was the reason for requesting a partial recount. Did state election officials find any evidence of fraud?
No, they didn't. They've said that for weeks. They said that again after the recount was complete on Sunday. This recount, as you mentioned, resulted in a change of just hundreds of votes, not thousands of votes. And that's typical for recounts. We've had recounts before in Wisconsin, including in the 2016 presidential race. So I think what it comes down to now is that the president's campaign is objecting to the methods by which some ballots were issued in Wisconsin and some procedures that election officials followed that they have been following for at least the past 11 elections in Wisconsin, if not longer. But the president's campaign has flagged those procedures now as ones that they believe to be inappropriate and illegal. So that's what they're going to go after when they file this lawsuit.
Would it be procedures around how we issue absentee ballots and how they're handled?
That's right. So a big category of ballots that the president's campaign is looking to challenge are all of the ballots issued during in-person early voting in Wisconsin. We know that that was very popular this year. In Dane and Milwaukee counties, this is more than 150,000 ballots. And they're saying that there needed to be a paper application for those in-person absentee ballots. That hasn't been the case in Wisconsin. Clerks have worked under the policy and procedure that the absentee ballot envelope in these instances qualifies as an application. And so someone doesn't need to show up and fill out some paperwork before they can get their ballot at in-person early voting. Another category they're trying to throw out are all ballots cast by indefinitely confined voters in Wisconsin, which is a subset of absentee voters. They say that those folks aren't actually indefinitely confined, and they just, kind of depicted themselves as such to bypass Wisconsin's voter ID law.
We're talking about the partial presidential recount, the governor certifying election results yesterday with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. How do you feel about the results and what are you watching for next? 800-642-1234 to join in. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Laurel White on the Ideas Network. We're talking about Biden's victory in our state as Governor Evers signed a certificate yesterday certifying the election. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, let's check in on our year-end member campaign that is officially underway. I'm here with Jean Purcell, and today is the first day of our drive. It's Giving Tuesday, a global celebration of generosity. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, and your gift now will ensure the programs that you rely on have a strong, sustainable start in 2021. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Don't forget, we've got that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member in Verona. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. We encourage you to take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, on the morning show and all day long here on the Ideas Network, you hear multiple sides of an issue so you can make up your own mind. And together, we keep up with the issues of the day and we have some fun. We follow our curiosity and we learn together.
And there really is nothing else like this on the radio, pretty much anywhere. It is something special. And your support is a vital part of what makes it all possible. The biggest piece of our funding, after all, is listener support, people just like you who make this all happen. So give now during our year-end member drive at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And when you do, you'll be supporting the radio programs you count on.
You've probably heard about our monthly giving program, and it's really popular. Nearly half of our members are now sustainers, and it's easy to become a sustainer. All you have to do is set up automatic monthly gifts from your bank account or credit card.
And in addition to funding the programs you love, here is another great reason to sign up for those ongoing monthly gifts, and that is sustainers are automatically entered into the drawing for a year of NPR-inspired coffee and wine along with Wisconsin cheeses. So start your ongoing monthly gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm Dr. Dipesh Nafsaria. I'm an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin, and I'm founding medical director of Reach Out and Read Wisconsin. Reach Out and Read is a program that starts really at birth, but we start at the six-month checkup, giving books to families and talking much more explicitly about reading, and that goes all the way through and including their five-year checkup. The book itself is a tool. I learn far more about that child by handing them the book and intentionally and skillfully observing what happens than from listening to hardened lungs.
Ask for the Reach Out and Read Thank You Gift. Your donation will support the WPR programs you love, and your thank you gift will provide books for young children. Give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Literacy, so vital. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It's your support today as we have a match money on the table. Your support of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether your contribution is $10 a month, it's matched, or $100 a month, it's matched. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And as we look ahead to 2021, and we are looking ahead to 2021, by the way, we are so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. We really can't do it without you. One gift at a time, it's listeners who provide our largest source of funding. If you haven't given yet this year, now is the time to do so. And if you have given this year, we appreciate your extra year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. We have match money left on the table, a total of $3,000 of match money. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
That's right, and don't let this chance pass you by. And don't forget this drive. You can also provide books to young children during their doctor visits. Ask for one of the Reach Out and Read Thank You gifts with your donation of $10 a month or more. Join in with your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
President-elect Joe Biden's victory in Wisconsin has been certified following a partial recount that added slightly to his vote total. How do you feel about the recount? Governor Evers' signature was required by law, typically one that doesn't get so much scrutiny. How do you feel about the election being certified? Where is your attention next? This is where Conversation is, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Laurel White is watching all this, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and she's our guide. Laurel, I want to look at Attorney General Josh Call accused the president of using the recount to try to change election rules after the fact. He called this, quote, disgraceful Jim Crow strategy for mass disenfranchisement of voters. Whose votes were affected as a result of the recount?
So the recount was focused on Dane and Milwaukee counties, and that's something that some officials have really called out since the beginning, that the president's campaign had made allegations about statewide fraud, statewide, you know, illegal ballots being issued, illegal altering of ballots. But the recount was only focused in these two counties, which happened to be Wisconsin's Democratic strongholds, and which happen to have the largest population of Black voters and communities of color in Wisconsin. And they said that that wasn't an accident, that that happened that way. So I think that's really what the Attorney General is calling out here, that the Trump campaign narrowed in on these communities with very specific populations attempting to have their ballots thrown out.
You know, we're talking about the litigation and what comes next in the court. How likely is it that the state Supreme Court could be getting involved here in whatever cases come to light?
So that's a really good question. That's really the question of the hour right now. Now that the recount is done, now that we've got those certifications in place, we're really just on court watch. So we have the two state lawsuits that have already been filed by groups that are not affiliated with the president's campaign. The Supreme Court could choose to take those up or not. We haven't heard from them yet. And then the president's lawsuit, interestingly, could be filed in either federal or state court. So that case might not actually go before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, depending on, you know, which venue the president's campaign chooses to file it in.
We heard from Holly in Eau Claire, couldn't stay on the line, but called in to ask if President Trump took such issue with the voting laws of Wisconsin and other states, shouldn't that have been addressed before the election started?
That's another big subject of conversation and something election officials have been pointing out, that these procedures, these rules have been in place for quite a while in Wisconsin. As I mentioned before, you know, at least 11 elections in Wisconsin for some of these policies, some longer. So a lot of folks are pointing to that and saying, you know, the president's kind of trying to change the rules of the game after the game is over, and that he didn't have any problems with these procedures when they were in effect, for example, in the 2016 presidential race, which he won, obviously, in Wisconsin. So that's something certainly that a lot of folks are pointing out.
So will our state's electors in the Electoral College still meet and officially cast their votes as planned? What happens there?
So that date is December 14th, okay, when the electors are scheduled to meet, and that is still proceeding as planned as of right now. I think the thing that could happen, Kate, is that if these lawsuits are accepted by a court, if a court rules that things need to be different, they can actually step in and change some of those certificates, some of those documents that the governor signed yesterday that authorized the presidential electors for Wisconsin, and sort of, you know, knock the train off the tracks, if you will. So it's not absolutely 100% guaranteed that things are going to happen the way that they've been set in motion to happen for those Democratic presidential electors to cast their votes on December 14th for President-elect Biden. But it would take an act of the court to change that.
Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. Coming up, we check in on how the Mayo Clinic health system in Eau Claire is handling the COVID health crisis post-Thanksgiving. That's ahead. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Frontline healthcare workers are bracing for a post-holiday spike. We head to northwestern Wisconsin to discuss the situation with Mayo Clinic Health System. But first, it's our year-end member drive that is underway. I'm here with Jean Purcell, and this is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning, Kate.
This is Giving Tuesday. Think about how much we've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2020. And with 2021 around the corner, take action during this year-end member drive. Give the programs you rely on a strong start, a fresh start in the new year. We need a fresh start at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is the hour to give, because we've got that dollar-for-dollar match. Still have about $2,000 of that in effect right now. Your chance, your opportunity to double your impact of your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. Current members, including a member in Verona, are going to be doubling every single dollar you give. It's their way of inviting you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, every day the morning show is here for you. We have covered every twist, every turn of the election. Every twist, every turn, we have been there for you. And these are the kind of conversations you count on to stay informed. Everything from the State Capitol Report, everything from Laurel White, the State Capitol Reporter here at WPR, Sean Johnson, our Capitol Bureau Chief. You rely on them for the most up-to-date information coming from politics in Wisconsin. These are the kind of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater. I like Wisconsin Public Radio because it has this focus on all things Wisconsin, which is very helpful for learning the culture of the state. And then also, once you're here, it helps you feel connected to the community. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it was easy and I didn't have to think about it. And I knew every month I didn't have to make a conscious choice to do what is right. It just happens. Like, if I am listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this much, I should be giving back to it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Get it matched right now in this dollar-for-dollar match. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Yeah, dollar-for-dollar match. The day is young. You know, mm-hmm. You can get something done right now. You can get the day off to a great start. You can make a difference without even leaving the house. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and you'll have made a great start to your day.
That's right. And again, dollar for dollar match. In effect, there is match money on the table. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And this member drive, you can also choose the Reach Out and Read Thank You gift when you give $10 a month or more. And when you do, you'll be providing books to children during their doctor visits. Make your donation now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So valuable, so literacy, so important. And thank you so much for giving at this moment, this dollar-for-dollar match. We heard from Matthew in Lake Mills who says, I'm donating in support of great content respectfully delivered. Candace in South Lyon says, The Morning Show and WPR remind me that dignified media is still possible. Thank you both so much.
Your gift.
As the pandemic surges, hospitals are stretched thin. And here in Wisconsin and around the country, hospitals face a crisis-level shortage of beds and staff to care for COVID patients. Are you a frontline healthcare worker? How is your facility handling this? What can you tell us? We're at 800-642-1234. Dr. Sue Cullinan is chair of emergency medicine at Mayo Clinic Health System in Eau Claire. Dr. Cullinan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Glad to be here.
What is the situation like right now in Eau Claire? What are you facing?
Well, we are facing an increase in COVID patients, and we have over the past several weeks. We've seen it increase since spring. We prepared for a surge back in the spring, and luckily didn't have it then, but we did received that surge in the last month or so. The numbers have increased, and we're just seeing a lot more patients in the hospital in general and also in our ICU. And that's where we start getting tight and start having a pinch point when the ICU starts filling up.
Is the ICU a pinch point right now? What are you seeing?
It is. You know, it's variable. Day to day, it fluctuates and patients get better and go home, or we can transfer some patients out. But it's very full right now. And that just, it makes it difficult when patients come in with any complaint. You know, it might not even be a COVID complaint and need the ICU for care. We are finding ways to take care of these patients. I don't want people to feel like we're not. And I think that's where it's strategically trying to get patients to the right place and in the right bed as much as possible.
Dr. Cullinan, can you walk us through what it's like working a shift as an ER doctor in this time?
Well, I can. I did that last evening. So, it's busy, but the ER is always busy. It fluctuates. You can go from a very few patients to, the department's full in a matter of just minutes to hours. So that's a typical day in the ER. It can vary immensely. We're just seeing a lot more of the respiratory complaints now. And this time of the year, we do normally with influenza, and we're seeing much, much less influenza, but seeing more of the COVID. The difference there is influenza. Often patients don't get quite as ill. Some still do, but not as severe as what we're seeing with the COVID surge. You know, the risk comes with the patients that you don't know if they're going to worsen or not. And, they come in and they have symptoms. And if they're mild, they often go home with close monitoring. But if they're sicker, we need to keep them in the hospital and monitor them closely.
Yeah, I mean, it must be really difficult to predict if a particular patient is going to worsen, if those symptoms are going to get worse, and then what other complications could arise.
Right, that is the tough point. You know, we're seeing more complications with those that already have comorbidities like diabetes and hypertension and obesity. We're certainly concerned about them. And when they go home, we have a COVID frontline team that monitors these people and checks in with them daily, if not several times a day, to make sure they're doing okay. And at times can even do some home monitoring. If they worsen, then they send them back in. But it's disheartening when you take care of someone one day and they look really good and you send them home with, close follow-up, and then you see them back the next day. But that does happen. You can't keep everyone when they look good. You monitor at home. And a lot of people do well also at home and don't need to return. But it's really difficult to tell sometimes who's going to turn.
Dr. Cullinan, there is this quite a bit of worry about a post-holiday surge, a post-Thanksgiving surge. How do you feel about that?
Well, I am worried about it because we've seen it before after gatherings and mass events, so we know it's likely to happen. A lot of people still wanted to see family and loved ones and over the Thanksgiving holiday, and I get it. And even groupings of 10 people or more, or 10 or less, I should say, can spread the disease. So I am concerned about a surge, especially when we're already in a surge. I hope it doesn't happen, but I hope more people stayed home and just connected with their smaller group family versus an extended family to limit the spread.
We're talking with Dr. Sue Cullinan, who's chair of emergency medicine at Mayo Clinic Health System in Eau Claire. And you can join in. Are you a frontline healthcare worker? How is your facility handling COVID? What do you need now? Is your hospital seeing an influx in patients? Join in at 800-642-1234. Staffing and short staffing has been such an issue, and not being able to fully staff departments because of healthcare workers getting sick or, coming down with a positive COVID test. What are you seeing where you are?
Right. It's similar here. We've had staff go out with COVID or at least on quarantine because other family members are. We've been lucky enough to fill from other sites. We've had people from our staff from Rochester, from Arizona Mayo come up and help us. And that is so welcomed. We have a large group of our staff, and a lot of people are willing to pick up extra hours and help fill in on days off, and I just really appreciate all the hard work the nurses, the techs, everybody, the providers in the department have done to fill in when someone's out. It's been great.
Did you anticipate filling in with staff from your Arizona Mayo Clinic?
Well, we had a few staff up here that went down for their surge this summer.
Okay.
And we try to work together as a one big group, Arizona, Florida, Rochester, and the health system all together. And we look at that for staffing and who's having a surge right now and how can we help out. And I think that's one of the benefits of having a system-wide enterprise group that can do that and help out in other areas.
What are you seeing with testing capacity now as we head into the new year? Mayo in Rochester is testing about 20,000 people a day. What does demand for testing look like in Eau Claire?
You know, it's still pretty high. We can go anywhere from 200 to 400 tests and more a day. So we're seeing it. They have the setup on Stein where you call in and you can get your test done that day. There might be some waiting depending on the volume. It's always hard to know if it's going to be a 200 person a day test or if it's going to be more people coming in. But I think people have been really great at, following kind of the rules and just waiting and calling in and getting their tests done. I see it, picking up over these next several weeks, just in general, people wanting to know. And it's important to know. It's important to know if you're positive or not, if those symptoms, you think it might be allergy or the runny nose or the slight cough, because there are so many varied symptoms that can be COVID that it's important to find out so you know whether or not to isolate.
Looking at where we stand with convalescent plasma therapy, which Mayo took a very early lead in this, what is your experience so far with treating COVID patients with convalescent plasma?
Yes, we are doing it. We have an infusion center at the hospital where patients are monitored and given the monoclonal antibody. It is looked at from a COVID frontline team that looks at the symptoms that patients have and determines if they're appropriate for it. So we're just not carte blanche giving this to anybody and everybody that walks in the emergency department, because I don't think that would be the right thing to do. So instead, we don't give it in the emergency department. It is given at the infusion center if the patients meet the criteria for receiving it. I think that's an important part. We just don't, if you think you have it, you just don't get it. You have to meet certain criteria, so we'll make sure the right people are getting this. And what it does is it prevents patients from getting sicker and hopefully prevents a hospitalization.
Do you have enough with the demand that you have?
Right now, we are looking at this really closely. We have, I think we have enough right now for what we're doing, but we get more during the week all the time. So we're getting more doses all along. And again, part of it is, looking at the patients in our system who have COVID, their symptoms, who meets the criteria for it. And even, it's a 3-hour process for the infusion. So getting them into the infusion center, getting this done, and we're even expanding the number of beds in the infusion center. So we're meeting the demand for this.
As you, I'm sure, keep a close eye on the rollout of a vaccine in the coming months and how healthcare workers will respond there, what at Mayo is your approach to rolling out a vaccine, and when and how would frontline workers get it?
They are looking at it, and I know they're, in coordination with the health department on the rollout. I mean, that's very important, but I know they've talked about the freezers, getting everything ready so we can be prepared for this when it does come out. So yes, they have been in planning. I can't say I've been in any plans with that directly, but I know they have been working on this already.
Have you approached treating patients differently at all, or triaging them differently as we approach a more winter flu season, as they come in with symptoms? Will your triage change in your emergency department?
I don't think so. This time of the year, we're used to respiratory complaints. It's very common, coming into the winter months. So this is something we're utilizing, we're used to doing anyway. But, obviously, we're seeing very little influenza and a lot more of the COVID virus. So I think we've been doing the triage, trying to get patients back if they have COVID symptoms into an isolated room. We've spread out our waiting room so people aren't sitting next to each other. We don't want to make that worse in the waiting room area, and trying to get people back as soon as possible. So I think, that's something we'll just continue to do.
Quickly, as we wrap up here, how is morale?
Morale is good. I think, like everybody, we want this over with. We all want to get back to what we think is normal and what we didn't maybe appreciate as much as we should. I think the morale is just, hanging in there. We can do it, the sound of the vaccine on the horizon. I think that gives people hope. I just really want to reiterate, no matter how busy we are in the department, we are big enough to handle handle people coming in with any complaint. And I just really want to stress, if you have chest pain or abdominal pain, please don't wait. Don't be afraid of COVID in the emergency department. Please come in and get your symptoms checked out. I worry for the people that don't want to be seen, and then they get sicker, they get worse. So I just really want to, you know, reiterate, we have room to see people. We've made extra beds. We're ready to see all patients.
Dr. Cullinan, thank you for joining us.
You are very welcome.
Dr. Sue Cullinan is chair of emergency medicine at Mayo Clinic Health System in Eau Claire. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I hope you stick around next hour when we explore the life and legacy of Wisconsin's 38th governor, the new book from Wisconsin Historical Society Press, Patrick J. Lucy. It should be a really great conversation. But first, let's check in on our year-end member drive that is underway on this Giving Tuesday. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. As I said, it's Giving Tuesday, a global celebration of generosity and your time to take action. Set your favorite programs up for success in 2021 with your gift during our year-end member drive. Maybe you've already given this year, or you make ongoing monthly gifts. Thank you so much. So today, make a special year-end gift for the programs you rely on all year long. It'll take just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That dollar-for-dollar match remains in effect right now. It's from current members, including a member in Verona, who are encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. We've got about $600 left of that matching money, so we put quite a dent in it, but there's still room for you. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. So take advantage of this match while you can and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Throughout the pandemic, we have checked in with physicians all over Wisconsin trying to walk in their footsteps, even just a little bit for a few minutes to help understand this pandemic at its core. These are the kinds of conversations that you count on from The Morning Show.
Yep, a real variety of talk and information and news every single day. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, which means it's your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 that makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And this member drive, you can provide books to young kids during their doctor visits. Ask for one of the Reach Out and Read thank you gifts. So special when you give $10 a month or more today.
So support the programs you love and help Wisconsin kids get a strong start in literacy. You can do it both at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Around the holidays, you may have bought some strange gifts.
So I have a friend that loves butter, and I'm giving her a book about butter.
Not really sure what she expected me to do with the card table, and that's kind of a weird gift for a 7-year-old.
I did get a pair of socks from my cousin, except it was like 4 months late, which, you know, it was a bummer to get a pair of socks in April.
This holiday season, consider a much more practical gift. Support Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your tax-deductible gift makes the radio service you rely on possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Indeed, and get in on match money. Make your gift go twice as far at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It's your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And we've got that dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. It's really a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Verona, are doubling every dollar you give, and we've still got a little bit of money in that pot. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR just like they do. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform you, that inspire you, programs that entertain and engage you. You fill in the blank, right? Any time of the day or night.
That's right. And what makes it all possible? That's the question. The answer is simple. You make it possible. It's the people who contribute who make WPR happen.
So your gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Don't forget that dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect for at least another minute or so. We've got maybe another $500 or so dollars left in the pot. So call in now and take advantage of that while you can. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Your gift right now, so important. Thank you so much for being part of the Wisconsin Public Radio family.